Speaking of sports, a few months ago, I was at a Rangers game. Now, please don't ask me why I went to a Rangers game in the 2018 season, because they were awful. They were practically unwatchable, but I had a feeling that my man crush, Adrian Beltre, was about to retire, and he did. So I wanted to see AB one more time before he went to heaven, I guess. I don't know where old baseball players go. So we were there, and it was actually Jeff and myself and a couple of the guys. We're on the front row of the furthest outfield seats, and but it's true. So we're right there on the railing, and it was somewhere in like the sixth or seventh inning. So we had been sitting there for almost 2 hours. I did go up once to get some food and go to the bathroom, and I came back down. I had been sitting in my seat for almost an hour. Like I hadn't moved. The game was boring. The Rangers, as you know, were losing terribly. And all of a sudden, my watch, which is set up to check my heart, you know, once every 10 minutes or 30 minutes, it usually does it in the background. My watch goes, "Hey, are you running a marathon right now? Because it looks like you're sitting still." And I'm like, "Holy guacamole, 160 beats per minute. That's a little high for a guy who's just sitting here." And I go, "Dude, look at this." And he goes, "You feel okay? Because you look terrible." Because I was clammy, and I was just like, something's wrong. So I said, "I'm going to go up," and there was air conditioning up in the, you know, the middle section up there. We were in the food porch, so there's AC up where they keep the food. I said, "I'm going to go up in the AC for a few minutes and just kind of collect myself." So I did have to go from the front row to the top row and look at me. So that didn't go well. But when I got up there, now I'm like at 180 or something, and I'm ready to pass out. So I go to the usher lady at the top of the stairs. I'm like, "Is there a place where I can talk to her?" She's like, "I need an EMT up here to the food court immediately, blah, blah, blah." So they sit me down, and they get me a bunch of cold rags on my face and my head. My heart is still pounding, like 150, 160, 165. The EMTs come, and they're like, "Hey, buddy, what's going on? Are you running a marathon or what?" I'm like, something's wrong. So I walked under my own strength. It wasn't that kind of a thing, but they did take me down to the underneath the deal where they have a little ER, like a little mini ER at the ballpark. And they hooked me up to the EKG and the heart monitors and all that, blood pressure. My blood pressure, I forget the numbers, but my blood pressure was like I was having a heart attack. I was dying. Not literally. In my exaggerated mind, I was. But my heart rate began to come down to normal, and my blood pressure dropped back down to normal, and everything normalized out. So right about the time that the head nurse doctor lady was going to call an ambulance, or there was one there, but bring it over, she goes, "It looks like your numbers are balancing out. So I'm not going to send you to the hospital, but I do need you to go to your doctor like tomorrow." So that started about a month, almost 6 week long series of tests and stress tests and sonograms and echocardiograms, and all the grams were done on my heart. And the cardiologist came back and said, "Actually, your heart's great. Something's triggering your heart to race like that. You've got a little arrhythmia. And I'm pretty sure at your young age," and I love to hear when he called me young, he said, if we put you on this very basic blood pressure medicine, what it's actually going to do is it's going to even out your heart. It's going to balance out your heart. You won't race anymore." And to make a very long story, for some reason getting longer, the drug is working magically. In fact, they even put me on a lower dose of it, so I only take 2 milligrams a day. It's this little tiny pill, just once a day. It keeps my heart in check. I don't race anymore. Everything's balanced. It's a very small dose, but it makes me whole, if you will. And then I told you the story last year, a year and a half ago now, where I read my Bible on a Friday and then had a busy weekend. I didn't read my Bible. I mean, I preached, I think, on Sunday. And then Monday morning, I couldn't read my Bible. Like, my eyes went bad like that. And I go to my the eye doctor guy, and he runs a test. And he said, "Yeah, you got old. No big deal. You just need reading glasses. It happens to all of us, and it usually happens kind of suddenly like that." So, and then I had to go back a few weeks ago just now because now my eyes are even worse, and I had to get a new prescription. I put on the new glasses, and it was like this little tiny bended glass is magically making everything sharp and focused again. It's like getting born again. Let me try to make these two medical things somehow spiritual. If I can pull this off, I'm good at my job. We've had a lot of people raise a hand, pray a prayer, and get right with Jesus. But I think we've sent him out of those doors saved, but not whole. And today, the title of this morning's message is, we need to take our medicine. We need to take our medicine to get whole. And I don't mean literal medicine. I'm still believing God for complete and total healing of my heart. The doctor said, hey, try losing 30 pounds and, you know, exercising once in a while, and we can probably take you off this drug. Let me read you something out of the, I never read the Message translation or interpretation. It'll be on the screens behind me. But it's Philippians chapter 4 and 6 and 7. It says, New Life Family Church, do not fret, do not worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, check it out, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and it'll settle on you. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Don't worry, don't fret, pray. Lift up praise, lift up thanksgiving, and then God will settle down on you his peace, and he will make you whole. Praise and thanksgiving is like taking our medicine, and it makes us whole. Today we're going to read the story of the 10 lepers. It's found in Luke chapter 17. You can open your Bible if you'd like. I'll be reading like normally from the New Living Translation. It'll also be on the screens behind me. Luke chapter 17. Jesus continues towards Jerusalem, and he reaches the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourself to the priests. And then as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he came back to Jesus and shouted, praise God! He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, wait. Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner? And then Jesus said to the man, stand up, go. Your faith has healed you. Let's talk about taking our medicine. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. Let's talk a little bit about leprosy in the old days. When a Jew would go up to Jerusalem to worship God, they had to be ceremonially clean. If they had butchered an animal that week, they would have had to wash off all the blood and guts and then had a religious Jewish ceremony, a rite to be washed clean. Maybe if a woman had been menstruating, anything with blood involved or guts involved, or you know, it was a farming community, any kind of poo or anything like that, they would have become unclean, which meant they couldn't go up into the presence of God. So if somebody contracted leprosy, leprosy was a very contagious skin disease. And I remembered, I had almost forgotten the story, but I was writing this message. In about 1998, 1999, when I was in Bible college, I went with Dr. Michael Brown to India, and he was preaching a crusade. So there was myself and a few other students with him. And I mean, we were out in the village. We were in the middle of nowhere. I mean, remote area. And there were tens of thousands of people there. It was just a crush of humanity. And there were several different speakers, and Dr. Brown was the main speaker, and he gives this big salvation altar call, and like a couple thousand people got born again. It was amazing. And then he says, listen, if you have any sickness in your body, Jesus is real, he is alive, and he is going to heal you tonight. You just make your way to the front, and my Bible school students are going to come pray for you. And we were like, we will? So he said, just go pray for him, guys. So we went down into the crowd all across the front of the altar area, and it was like a crush of humanity, just thousands and thousands. It wasn't like at our altar where you can just stop and go, hey, what's your name? How can I pray for you? Oh, okay, good. No. It was like just people were crying and crying out to God and singing loud in worship, and we're just trying to lay hands on as many people as possible. And I say this because the very first person I laid my hands on, I was just like, I felt something crawling through my fingers when I touched the top of their head. I'm like, praise hallelujah. And other people would come and they'd have like tumors and like these huge masses on their body, and they'd say, pray, and we would pray. And the funny thing is, we could see people getting healed, but I don't remember any of it because it was such a crazy, just wild experience. And then specifically, I remembered like touching somebody's skin, and it felt like flaky and dry and like dead skin, and it was like falling off. And I'm like, that's leprosy. awesome. So we went after the altar time, we went backstage, and stage was a truck trailer, and we went behind the trailer, and somebody had a big thing of hand sanitizers, and we were just like, just wash me in the blood. Like, it was just as much hand sanitizers as you can possibly get. Because Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, so he's got to remain pure and holy to go worship. But these 10 lepers are on the outside of town. And this skin disease, let me just, for those that may not have experienced or known, leprosy, it was and it still is a very contagious bacteria. It's a bacterial infection. It gets in the skin, it gets like under the skin, and it begins to kill the skin. It kills the nerve endings, it kills all the pain receptors, and in extreme cases, it can even cause the skin to fall off. So in smaller appendages to your body, things like fingers, ears, noses, the skin can literally die and fall off. And it was a major problem. Now today, it's practically been eradicated because of antibiotics. There were 65 cases of leprosy in America last year, in 2016. So it's not totally gone, but with antibacterial creams and antibacterial drugs, we've basically eradicated it in the modern America, Western Europe, etc. Still exists in more struggling nations. So anyway, here's the deal. God is smarter than all of us, and he knew that leprosy would spread like wildfire. So in the law, in Moses' law, if somebody contracted leprosy, they had to leave. They had to go outside the village. They would try to get cleansed. They'd try to get healed. Sometimes you can get healed of leprosy, but it might take 5 years. So you would have to go outside of the town and basically just live like a hermit. You could have no contact with anybody. This was God's law. So anybody that was holy and pure, they couldn't have contact with you. If you had family, they could come to the outside of the village and they could bring you food or a tent or clothing and leave it for you, and then you would come collect it. But you could never connect the two together because the Lord didn't want leprosy to spread through his people. Let me just finish the story, and then I'm going to go back to the beginning. Luke chapter 17:17, Jesus said, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner?" Talking about this one Samaritan man. Jesus said to this man, "Stand up and go, because your faith has healed you." Your faith has healed you. Part of taking your medicine and getting the healing in your heart is that we walk by faith and not by sight. And that we walk by faith according to what the scriptures say and not according to what the world says, what our culture says. Because in our culture today, we're seeing a line in the sand, because there's a very clear distinction between Christian and non-Christian. Go back 30, 40 years. Those of you that are 40, 50, 60 years or older, when you were a kid, everything was closed on a Sunday, because we were a Christian nation. Everybody went to church. The vast majority of Americans went to church every Sunday. They read their Bible on a regular basis. They would pray on a regular basis. They believed the Bible to be true and not a bunch of fairy tales. They would give a tenth or a tithe of their income to the Lord. They would pray for people. You know, if they were out and, you know, old so-and-so had broken his arm and they, you know, at the village market, they would pray for people. It was bananas that Americans actually lived like Christians. But today, it's not the same. Today, we have the lowest percentage of Protestant attendance in church history. Protestant church attendance every Sunday is at an all-time low. Fewer people per capita in America today profess to be a Christian than ever before. So it used to be kind of, I'm not sure who's a Christian and who's not, because we're all Christians. Today, it's getting more and more and more clear, a line in the sand of, hey, we're crazy because we believe the Bible, we believe God is real, we believe the plan of salvation, and people that don't. But here's the problem. The church has watered down the gospel to become socially acceptable. The church has watered down the truth of the word because we don't want to offend anybody. We've domesticated the clarion message of the gospel that says you have to repent of your sin and turn to God. So there's this weird, you know, yin and yang, which is, okay, old school Pentecostal people are now mad at me. There's this old tug of war, because we're not sure, are we really going to stand up and be desperate for God in a world that hates God? And I'm saying, for New Life Family Church, for Euless, enough is enough. Because we can no longer call ourselves Christian without looking like Christians, without looking like Christ. We need to be transformed. We need to become whole like the Lord is making us whole. Side note. Okay. So we need to take our medicine. We need to be made whole, like Christ. These 10 men, they had leprosy. But then they had this radical encounter with Jesus that changed their life forever. I don't mean they just raised their hand and they prayed a prayer. I mean their entire lives were transformed because of one moment with Jesus. They became whole. We need, as a church, not just people to pray a prayer. We need people to become whole, to become transformed into the image of Christ. Here's the problem. The longer we walk with God, the less transformation there is in our lives. The less we allow transformation in our lives. We assume that all the transformation is when we were a new Christian. When we first give our heart to Jesus and we have all this stuff to change in our life, that's when we really grow as a Christian. It's like a baby who's growing so fast, and every time you see them, they seem to be another inch taller, or they can sit up or roll over or stand up or begin to toddle. And so we feel like Christians that we're like, well, when I was a baby Christian, I was growing a lot, but now that I've been a Christian for a long time, I've kind of leveled off. And I'm so spiritually mature that I've stopped growing. The problem really is we think we've figured out Jesus. We've got it all figured out. We're experts in Jesus. We've listened to the Jesus TED Talk. We've got it. We know how it works. And we think we know it all, but we've turned off this passionate pursuit of Jesus, and we've turned it into a religion. We've turned it into certain rules, certain things that we have to do. We have to act a certain way to be a Christian. We have to dress a certain way to be a Christian. We have to go to a church. We have to talk a certain way. We have to listen to certain music. But here's the deal. All of that is on the outside, while on the inside, our hearts have leprosy and have slowly been dying, and we feel less, and we're slowly dying on the inside. And once in a while, once a month, we'll serve as an usher in the church, but how often do we serve our community? How often do we serve the poor? How often do we serve the widow and the orphan? By the way, we need more ushers. Saved people serve people. If you're not serving on a dream team, where's Albert? Albert, stand up, wave your hand. If you're not serving on a dream team, talk to Albert today. If you've not taken the growth track, growth track one is today. It's a great day to get plugged in. So we can get you plugged in. So here's the thing. We've listened now, as the longer we're Christians, to hundreds and hundreds of sermons. But if we would put into practice half of the stuff that we've heard in all of these sermons, we would be seeing healing miracles all across. And we'd be seeing healing miracles at the Kroger. We'd be seeing demons cast out of the dog park. We'd be seeing drug addicts set free. We'd be seeing the poor be blessed financially and that poverty be broken off. This church would be packed 2, 3, 4 services a day. Euless would be a testimony to all of DFW what it looks like when a church grabs a hold of God because we've taken our medicine. We need Jesus to heal our religious hearts, our broken hearts. We need Jesus to make us whole and then send us out to a lost and dying world. We are the body of Christ. Does that mean anything to you? We're the body of Christ. That's not just super spiritual jargon. It's Bible, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23. The church is his body. Say, I am Jesus' body. Back to it. The church is his body. It is made, listen, here we go, full and complete. In other words, it is made whole. How? By Christ. Christ fills all things everywhere with himself. Hello. So we're the body of Christ on the earth today, and we need Jesus to fill our body, to fill our body. The church is not the sheetrock and the steel that hold this building up. The church is the people that you're sitting next to. We are the church. We're the body of Christ. Here's the deal. Too many churches, including ours, are full of bench warmers. People that just want to attend church. People that just want to watch church go on. Hey, listen, I'm like a regular person that attends church. No, you're children of the Most High God. Jesus is Lord, and we are his body. We are his representation on the earth. So not just on a Sunday morning, wherever we go, we are to represent Jesus. What does the word represent? We are to re-present Jesus. So every time somebody meets you, it's as if they've met Jesus, because you sound like Jesus. You have Jesus's joy. You've got Jesus's heart for the lost and the poor and the broken. Why? Because we're his body and we need Jesus to fill his body. So if we have a leprous heart, we can look at these 10 men who had leprosy, and like they did, we need to cry out to God. Lord, have mercy. The church is sick. I am sick. I need to take my medicine. Listen, if there's something in you today that is less on fire than it was a year ago, or when you first got born again, there's a prescription, there's some medicine that you need to take. If you look back in your life, if you look back in your marriage, if you look back on your heart, if there was more joy, more faith, more passion for God a week ago, a month ago, 10 years ago, something's wrong and you need a Jesus prescription. You need to take your medicine. Because the way that the kingdom works is we go from glory to glory. We go from good to gooder. That's the way Jesus works. It's always getting better. So ask yourself, am I whole in Christ? Is my heart whole? Am I complete in Christ? Or is there any room for growth? Is there any sickness, any leprosy in my heart, any area where my heart is more dead now than it used to be? Like these lepers in the story, we need to cry out to God and say, Lord, you got to make me whole. Let's go back to the beginning of the story, Luke chapter 17, verse 15. Oh, sorry, in the middle of the story, the Samaritan. One of them, the Samaritan man, when he was realized that he was healed, he returned to Jesus and he shouted, praise God. He saw that he had been healed and then he came back to Jesus, fell at his feet and shouted, praise God. When was the last time you had your shout on? When was the last time the worship song couldn't, some of you were like about 10 minutes ago. You know what I'm saying? Some of us have been so baptized and lukewarm, but we're just like, well, I'm not much of a shouter. Well, then maybe you've got leprosy. You don't even feel how dead you are on the inside. All right, hold on. Because now we got some shouting. All right, easy shouters. Let me teach. Because I've offended all the non-shouters. Let me explain. This word, healed. If you remember, when he realized he had been healed, he returned and he shouted to the Lord. Ironically, the word is not healed. The word in Greek is made whole. Look it up. When he realized that he had been made whole, he returned, fell on his feet, and he shouted, praise God. Jesus wants to make you whole. Make you whole mentally from your anxiety and your fear and your loneliness and your depression. Make you whole physically if there's sickness or pain in your body. It's not God's will. Make you whole emotionally so you're not so needy and you're not so desperate for the attention and love of others. Make you whole spiritually so that you rise up and have the power of God on the earth today. Churches have a lot of saved people, but not many whole people. And me as a pastor, I'm glad you raised your hand and you repent of your sin and you're going to heaven, but I hate that you walk out of those doors and you're not whole on the inside. Or I hate that you've been walking with God so long that your heart has atrophied and you're not growing in your heart. Remember, God's kingdom goes from glory to glory, from better to better, from wholeness to more wholeness-er. And sometimes we wonder, and we're like, wait a second, bro. I've been a Christian for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. I'm not in sin. I'm not in sin. I occasionally sin because I'm an idiot, but I'm not living in sin. Usually the problem is not sin, it's separation. We've separated ourselves from God. We've separated ourselves from his worship, from his presence. We've separated ourselves from the body of Christ. We've separated ourselves from New Life groups. We've separated ourselves from a dream team. We've separated ourselves from worship. We've separated ourselves in our heart. And we've like, well, it's like we've been married for so long that we've just grown apart, the Lord and I. The Lord sleeps in one bed, I sleep in another. The Lord works nights, I work days. We just never see each other anymore. We've matured in our relationship so much that all of my Jesus heart has become head knowledge, and I'm not pursuing him in my heart anymore. I'm not pursuing the heart of God, the presence of God, the power of God. I'm just too busy to go to church one more time. We all come to church sometimes, but I think sometimes we forget that we don't come to church, we are the church. You know what I'm saying? We are the body of Christ. All right, so how do we become whole? How do we take our medicine? How do we experience this wholeness? Because all of that was a 22-minute introduction. I'm going to talk really quick for 7 minutes. Luke chapter 17 and verse 19. Jesus said to this dude, hey, Go, your faith has healed you. Stand up and go, your faith has healed you. If you're wondering, that's the exact same expression that Jesus has used 11 times throughout the New Testament. Go, your faith has made you whole. Your faith makes you whole. We're saved by faith. We respond by faith. Our faith makes us whole. We need faith to take our medicine. Faith is the medicine. We need faith to make us complete. How many church services have we been to and then we've cussed somebody out on the way home, including our wife and kids? How many church services on a Sunday morning we've gone to and then we've gotten drunk at the Super Bowl party that afternoon? Listen, we had 351 people get born again in 2018. You might have been one of those people that got saved last year. You're not getting drunk tonight. This side is excited. Y'all need to repent. How many of us have shouted in church and then we've slept with somebody we're not married to later that week? Yeah. Or we've shouted in worship and then we've looked at pornography. We've shouted to God and then we've gotten drunk or high, or we've tried to self-medicate outside of the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? We're broken on the inside. We have leprosy of the heart. We're not whole. Let's go back to the beginning of the story, and now I'm going to talk super fast. Luke chapter 17 and verse 12. As Jesus entered the village, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, and they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Number one, your first point is this. Admit it. We're broken. Just be honest. Admit it. We're broken. These men cried out to God, "Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, we need you." So number one is admit it, dude, we're broken. We need to cry out to God. We need to stop trying to hide our brokenness, hide our sin, hide our shame, and admit that, hey, I'm saved, but I'm broken on the inside. Because fake it till you make it is no longer going to work at New Life Family Church. We want healing. We want wholeness. We want the body of Christ to be complete and whole. Stop faking it in your marriage that everything is okay, when your marriage is falling apart behind closed doors. Stop faking it in your mental health, in your mind, in your heart, because you cry yourself to sleep every night, or you have night terrors or insomnia or something else that is terrorizing you. You just might say, there's no hope, because that's what literally was told to these 10 lepers. The 10 lepers were like, oh, dude, sorry you got leprosy. Now you got to go camping. Shame, shame on you. Every time you went out of the city, you would get on the main road. You would see these 10 dudes camped out. And it was like a shame on you. That's what the devil wants to do to the church. Shame you for the sin that you're trying to hide. These 10 men recognized there was something about Jesus and they could not stay shut up any longer. So in front of their village, in front of everybody, in front of their family, they cried out to God for healing. They're like, Lord, my nose is falling off. My fingers are falling off. I am broken. I need you to heal me, and I don't care who knows it. We need to stop pretending and cry out to God, Jesus, I need you. I need you to heal me. I need you to heal my broken heart. And let me tell you something. Look at the story. This kind of prayer stopped Jesus in his tracks. Jesus was passing by. I'm going to Jerusalem. Jesus, I need you. And Jesus was like, you have my attention. When we cry out to God in faith for healing of our broken hearts, we get Jesus' attention. So stop pretending, but cry out to God. Number two, wholeness comes when we obey. Listen, wholeness comes when we obey. Verse 14, he looked at them and said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, say, as they went, they were healed. They cried out. Jesus looked over and he said, here's how it goes. Jesus is walking. Jesus, Son of God, heal me. Go see the priest. And they're over here like, hey, Jesus, heal me. What? And I want you to lay your hands on me. I want you to give me a word. I want you to bring me to the front and say something special about me. I want you to put me in charge of my dream team. I wanted to lead a life group. I wanted to be empowered. I wanted to be important. Jesus said, you didn't pay no attention to me. And Jesus is like, just do what I told you to do, and you'd be healed. You're wondering why there's still trouble, but you have yet to join a dream team. You have yet to go to Growth Track. You have yet to be on an outreach. You've yet to go on a missions trip. And you're over here like, Jesus, I need you. And he's like, yeah, do what I told you to do. As they went, they were healed. As they went, they were healed. Let me explain how this works. If somebody thought they had been healed of leprosy, it had been 5 or 6 years, the boils and sores had healed over, and they thought they were clean, they would go to the priest. They would stand outside the priest's home. The priest would come outside, and he'd get a good look at him, and he'd check him out. He'd look at all the, you know, okay, you look good. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to go wash yourself and do the ceremonial cleansing, and then I forget the number. Through a period of time, because the priest wanted to make sure that they were clean, maybe, let's say 30 days. They would go 30 more days and wait. And if they were still clean after 30 days, then they could return to their family, they could return to their spouses, they could return to work. But that's why Jesus said, go see the priest, while they were still covered in leprosy, and missing a nose and missing an ear. So they moved out by faith and obeyed Jesus in the direction of the priest, and then while they're on their way, they were healed. Sometimes Jesus expects us to cry out and then move out. Move away from the sin that you've been doing. Move towards repentance. Move towards forgiving people that have hurt you. And stop holding on to unforgiveness. Forgive yourself for the stupid stuff that you used to do. You need to move, obey God, and move out of a relationship that isn't godly, that you shouldn't be in. You need to move out of an apartment you're living with somebody, sleeping with somebody you're not married to. You need to move out of the pain in your heart and seek out biblical counseling and inner healing. You need to move away from loneliness and separation and plug into the church. You need to get on a dream team. You need to get involved. You need to plug in so that we know your name, so that we can help you heal together. Sometimes God heals you in an instant at the altar. It's this amazing experience. The prayer team prays for you. You touch the Lord by faith, you're healed. Sometimes the Lord is waiting on you to respond by simply obeying him, going and doing what he's told you to do. See, too often we pray for people to get saved, but then we don't teach them how to become whole. Too often we praise God and we've prayed the prayer, but then we go home miserable. We go home broken on the inside. So we need to teach people to cry out, repent, and then obey Jesus' direction by faith, whatever he's called us to do. We're healed in our heart by repenting of our sin, making Jesus the Lord of our life, but our minds have not been renewed and they're tormenting us. So we send people back to their lives and they still have leprosy of the heart. There's like a stench, there's a death. You know, you talk to somebody and it ain't halitosis, it's not bad breath, and you're like, man, there's just something wrong with this dude. I know they go to church and all, and that's good, but they're not whole on the inside. They're still broken on the inside. They've got their ticket punched. They're not going to hell, but they're also not complete. It's like their heart is still rotting. We need life where there has been death. We need joy where there has been agony and pain and drama, where we've been dead on the inside. We need the Lord to breathe new life. See, these nine men, these nine Jewish men, they were deemed clean. They went to the priest. He said, hey, you guys look good. They were washed in the water. They're waiting their time. And then they return home to their families. But the Bible doesn't say if like body parts regrew. So we don't know. But it's possible that they returned home without a nose, without an ear, missing a finger. So number three is this. Sometimes wholeness has scars. Jesus healed him. But there's no record of what happened there in the in-between. A lot of wounded people, they get born again. God begins a work of healing on the inside. Their hearts are made whole, but they never forget the pain they went through. They never forget the addiction. They never forget the abuse. They never forget the sorrow that they went through from the divorce, from the beating, from the torment, from the loved one that passed away. Why? Why would it be that sometimes our healing, our wholeness, still has scars? Because people that do it right can put their arm around somebody and say, listen, I went through a terrible divorce too, or my spouse was abusive to me or cheated on me, or I went through a time with, I was dabbling in the occult, or I was dabbling in homosexuality, or I was dabbling with addiction, or I was dabbling with unbelief, or I was dabbling with whatever. I remember what God did in my heart. He is going to heal you and make you whole like he did to me. The Apostle Paul had a limp. So we need to be willing to bear the scar of, hey, I remember what it was like to be an alcoholic. I remember what it was like to be a drug addict. I remember what it was like to be addicted to weed or cigarettes or whatever. I remember that addictive feeling. But I know the way out of the pit that you're stuck in. It's It's a scar that we bear, but if we do it right, it's meant to lead others to Jesus. Number four, and we'll close with this. Wholeness thanks Jesus. The Samaritan man was the only one that returned. He runs back, falls down on his face in worship. You want to know why? In a thought, he had nowhere else to go. Jesus is like, go see the priest. And the Samaritan's like, yeah, I'm going to go see the priest. Wait a second. I'm a Samaritan. I ain't got nowhere to go. I can't go to the Jewish priest. So I'll go back to the guy that just healed me. I'll follow my... You know why? Sometimes in church, we feel like an outsider. We feel like we don't belong in church. Sometimes we've even thought, hey, I'm not a very good Christian. I'm not very good at being a new lifer. These other people, they really seem to have their, I almost said crap together, but I won't say that in church. They really seem to have their act together. Is that better, church people? Like, I'm trying really hard, but I'm not as good as these people. I don't belong here. Let me tell you something. You belong at the feet of Jesus. You belong at the feet of Jesus. And do you know what brought the total healing, the total wholeness? What triggered God's power to be released in this man's life was thanksgiving. Was how thankful he was. 10 guys got healed. One dude, 10% returned to thank the Lord. You need to cry out to God. You need to ask him to make you whole. And then you need to thank him for what he has done. Let's read it again. Luke chapter 17:17. Jesus said, bro, didn't I heal 10 guys? Where's the other 9? Has nobody returned to come early for church and worship me? Has nobody returned to sit in the front instead of the back? Has nobody returned to come down to the front in the altar? Has nobody returned to worship me and thank me except for this foreigner? Here's the deal. 9 guys went to church. 1 guy went to Jesus. Most of the church is just going to church. I'm looking for people that just say, I'm going after Jesus. Here's the fun thing. Here's another thing that we have to read between the lines. The Bible doesn't say, so I'm just hypothesizing. I'm just sort of guessing and filling in the blanks. 9 guys go to the priest, missing an ear, missing a nose, missing a finger. They're cleansed of their leprosy. They get to return home. 1 guy, missing a nose, missing an ear, missing a toe, returns to Jesus and cries out on his face and says, Jesus, heal me. Thank you for healing me. I worship you. I adore you. And Jesus said, get up. Your faith has made you whole. I'm a guess, but the Bible doesn't say that a nose popped out, that fingers popped out, that an ear grew back. Because that's very clear to write, you have been made whole because of your thanksgiving. So 9 guys are so mature in their faith, they don't have to worship. They don't have to say thank you. They don't have to cry out to God. You're never going to be so whole that you don't need to worship the Lord. You're never going to be so whole that you don't need to thank the Lord. You're never going to walk with God so long that you don't need to cry out and fall at his feet. You can never stop thanking Jesus for forgiving you of your sin. You can never stop thanking the Lord for calling you a son and a daughter. Because Jesus told this man, get up. It is your faith that has made you whole. So we need to run to Jesus and cry out in worship, cry out and say thank you. We need to get plugged into the body of Christ. What in your life has died? What in your heart has been stolen from you? What do you need God to restore to you? Do you need God to restore your hearing so you can hear God, so that you can feel God, so that you can have your marriage restored, have your children restored, have your health restored, have your finances restored, have your joy restored? What do you need Jesus to restore in your heart? Up on your feet and let's pray about it right now. Too many of us are still broken and sick on the inside. Yes, we believe Jesus is Lord. Yes, we're going to heaven, but there's more. There's a wholeness, a completeness, a maturity that continues to cry out to God. Examine, just close your eyes, bow your head. Let's just pray. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would point out anything in our lives that are incomplete, that have lost feeling, that have been dying on the inside. If there's any area of our life that's not whole, if there's any area of our life that we need to take our Jesus medicine. We need to obey the doctor. We need to cry out in worship. With your eyes bowed, your eyes closed and your head bowed, let me ask you this. Let me just ponder this. Have you even made Jesus the Lord of your life yet? Because every Sunday, we have a lot of people that visit our church, and this is all new to them. Or maybe it's been a while, it's been a minute since you've been in church. Maybe the thing that's broken is your heart because you've not yet surrendered it to Jesus. You're not yet a part of this beautiful body of Christ. You don't yet have the life and the power of God living on the inside of you. So let me talk to those folks. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed, but it's just you and me talking. If you were to leave out of here today and get on 183 or 360, you get hit by a bus or a truck and you're like, oh man, I'm dying. Do you know that you know that you know that you would go to heaven? Because you have repented of your sin, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're living for Him. Well, today's your day. It would be my highest honor to lead you in a prayer, but all I can do is lead you in that prayer. You have to be the one that believes it. You have to be the one that is willing to die to your old life and make Jesus the Lord of your life. It might be the very first time you've ever prayed a prayer like this. It might be the first time you've ever cried out to Jesus like this and asked Him to forgive you of your sins. Or maybe you knew the Lord as a young person, you knew the Lord years ago, and you've kind of lost your way, you've fallen off, and you've walked away from God. You've walked away from what it means to be a child of God. You've allowed sin back into your life. Well, today's your day also. So I'd like to know who I'm praying for. In a minute, I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand real high, because I just wanna know who I'm praying for. But if that's you, today is your day. This is your day of salvation. So if that's you, I want you to raise your hand up real high right now. I see your hand over on the side. Is there anybody else? I see your hand in the middle. Is there anybody else? I see your hand on the side. Is there anybody else? Raise it up real high. Come on, somebody. I see your hand over on that side. Come on. I see your hand right there. Come on. Raise them up. I see your hand. Come on. Thank you, Lord. If you're wondering why the church just erupted in clapping, it's because that's our Super Bowl. That's our touchdown. It's when you get right with God, man, that's our win. Why don't we all pray this prayer together? You four or five that raise your hand, and why don't we all pray this prayer together? Let's say, Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I'm so sorry that I've sinned against you. Wash me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I repent and I turn my back on my sinful life and I turn to you to worship you, to cry out to you, to live for you. So come live in me. Make me whole. Heal my broken heart. I believe that you are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.